Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are age gap romance, past abuse, and explicit sexual content.
And we have a Spotify comment, and this comes from Brittany Thornton, and it says, I love, love, love listening to y'all. I look forward to Wednesdays because of you.
Cutie.
Thank you.
Love, love, love you, Brittany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Release by Suzanne Clay, and stay tuned to the end of the episode if you want to hear our ratings.
All right.
Danielle answers the work phone 2 minutes before closing. I would fucking never.
No, sorry, no. We're closed.
Leave a message. I'll get back to you next day.
It's Lucy from Mr. Renfield's office, and she has to reschedule their meeting tomorrow. Danielle confirms an open Monday spot and hangs up. Besides Mr. Hughes, she's the last one in the office. She knows she needs to rip the band-aid off and let him know the meeting was rescheduled. She knocks and he lets her in. He's a handsome older man whose presence demands respect that she's always eager to give. She lets him know about the rescheduled appointment and he says, okay. She goes to grab his used coffee mug, but he doesn't hand it over. They lock eyes, and when he finally hands it over, he tells her that she needs to leave right after washing the mug.
He's like, go home.
Yeah, he's like, why are you here?
Please leave.
By the time she heads out for the night, she's wound tight and only one place can take care of that. She heads down to Cherry Street to the building. She knows it exists, but she acts like she doesn't know about it.
And this is the secret afterwork hobby we tried to make you guess last week.
What did I guess?
Rock painting.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that was why the Cherry Street glory hole appealed to her so much. All right, girl, that's safe. Having the opportunity to be an anonymous object for the taking suited her quite well. No strings attached, no names or phone numbers exchanged, just a rapid primal encounter between two strangers who would never meet again. Wow. So let me think. Let me guess. She's been banging her boss for quite a long time, probably. I bet he frequents this glory hole.
No. But it does sound like a really legitimate glory hole. Like, they have vending machines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for what? Like, condoms and stuff?
And waters and snacks.
Is it just, like, in an alleyway?
No, it's a building.
Oh, and is it, like, multiple glory holes?
There's multiple. She talks about stalls.
Yeah. There's, like, one fuck stall, and then there's a stall for, like, blowjobs. Oh.
Yeah.
So does she work there?
She does it for free. It's just a passion of hers.
She puts in work.
Yeah. It's her weekly treat to come here and be used. She's addicted to the filthy release of it.
During the drive, her body sang in anticipation. Beneath the gray pinstripe skirt hugging her thick thighs, Danielle felt her pussy slicking her panties in hunger. She didn't care who found her tonight. She didn't care if they wanted to use her with a cock, a toy, their hands, or their mouth. They could bruise her or bite her if they wanted. She just needed to leave the booth on shaky legs. Damn, girl. She must be stressed.
She makes it to the building and parks, heading inside to the booth she knows so well. She undresses and she waits. She's waiting about 10 minutes when she hears the door open and feet on the tile. It doesn't sound like women's heels, though, so she assumes it's a gentleman. The individual gets something from the vending machine and approaches. They step in front of the hole, pull their zipper down, and put a condom on. She sits in front of one of the holes, pussy spread wide open, and then sticks her hand out of another hole to stroke the cock. Then she guides him to the bottom hole.
Oh, so there's like multiple holes.
Yeah, this is a legitimate glory hole. They put thought into this glory hole.
Yeah, they did. Danielle guided his shaft to her entrance, and she hungrily suckled just his head inside of her. Ew.
Then his hand enters the hole so he can rub her clit. He fucks her as she moans, and she imagines her boss, Mr. Hughes. She begs for him to fuck her hard, and as he does, she fondles her tits and pinches her nipples. They both come, and as he pulls out, the fantasy of Mr. Hughes vanishes. She waits for the stranger to leave, but he goes to the vending machine and gets some more stuff, and then pauses. She hears him walk away, so she gets dressed and exits. She sees a water bottle and a note telling her to get home safe, and that has definitely never happened before.
Who is it?
It's her brother.
Shut up.
Ah, the thrill. I'm just trying to picture, like, a glory hole. The only reference I have is The Sweetest Thing. Do you remember that? Where she, like, gets her eye poked?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, is a glory hole, like, this one? Would it be, like, you know, if you put your hands together, like, you know how you can, like, make a big vagina hole?
Uh-huh.
Do you think it's, like, that big?
I think it's ass size.
Like, you can put your whole ass through it?
I feel like it was ass size.
Yeah, I feel like it was pretty large. Like, not a fist size hole. Because, I mean, you gotta be able to put your pussy up to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, okay, okay.
Maybe, like, a volleyball?
See? Okay, yeah.
And it sounds like this whole building is just for the glory hole. I don't think it's anything else.
Is there, like, reception? Is there a waiting area?
But it's always immaculately clean, and they even have little things where you can, like, hang your clothes up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's, like, super top-notch glory hole.
I'd love to see it.
I wonder if one exists in real life.
A glory hole? Yeah, for sure.
No, I mean, like, a legitimate glory hole with, like, vending machines and coat hooks.
A glory hole business.
Mm-hmm. We should open one. I feel like it'd do great in Reno.
Well, prostitution is legal.
The brothels are, yeah.
We still have brothels.
But not, like,
unsolicited.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, be an entrepreneur.
No.
I can't just go downtown and be like, who wants my purse?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right.
What a shame.
Dang it.
It's just another way the man's bringing us down.
Yeah,
for real.
God, we can't have anything nice.
Danielle arrives early to the office, nice and refreshed. In the break room, Sherry alerts her that the back of her skirt is tucked into her panties, exposing her whole butt cheek.
I'd kill myself.
How do you not feel that?
Literally.
I don't know.
I can feel, like, when my panties folded under a little bit. There's no way somebody doesn't know when their whole ass is out.
Not this girl.
She also wears, like, these secret thigh garters that are, like, really prominent to her outfits. And she's not as embarrassed until she sees that Mr. Hughes is in the break room and saw it.
Idiot.
She fixes herself as everyone in the break room leaves, minus Sherry. Sherry tells her it's no big deal, and she is mortified. She's able to sneak out to go get Mr. Hughes dry cleaning, but when she's back, she's called to his office. He has her close his door, and she immediately apologizes for the wardrobe malfunction. He says it's not about that, it's about something inappropriate that happened, and he feels like he has to bring it up.
Hmm.
He asks if she went to Cherry Street last night, and she's like, what do you mean? Well, I don't even know what that is.
How do you know about Cherry Street?
She tries to tell him what she does outside of work is only her business, and he says, usually yes, but he was there too last night. He tells her whatever she wears on her thighs are very similar to something he saw there.
Oh, God. See? I fucking knew it.
Then he asks what color thigh garter she wore yesterday and if they were black. She nods her head. They were, in fact, the color black. And he says that he imagined it was her last night and it's super inappropriate of him. But now knowing that it was her, he's just sorry and asks if she feels safe.
Oh, nice.
And then this bitch says, oh, I knew it was you.
Wait, what?
She's like, I knew it was you after you said more than three words.
Oh,
can you just imagine, though, going to a glory hole and then, like, end up fucking your boss?
It's the risk you take.
Yeah. And also, I like that he asked if she felt safe, but, like, she's fucking men through a glory hole. I don't think she cares.
No.
I think he meant safe at work, not safe at the glory hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. Did you enjoy it when you thought it might be me? Her cheeks flushed. Did you like fucking me? What if he was like, no?
Not really.
I mean, 7 out of 10.
room to improve.
She says that he can answer since she knows she's going to be fired after this. And he says that he's not planning on firing her. She sighs in relief, then tells him maybe the sex was so good since they already worked together and no one would have to know. He says, no, absolutely not. He's avoided scandal and has done his best for this company, and they will pretend that it never happened.
Danielle blinked rapidly to keep her vision clear. Then before this ends, can I ask you one question and you answer it honestly? I'll do that much, yes. When you imagined you might be fucking me, did that make it better? Yes. Yes, she prompted. Yes, it did make the experience much better. Aw, you guys are gonna keep fucking.
Then he dismisses her so she can confirm the appointments for the week. It's 2 days later. She's barely seen Mr. Hughes or been in the office. He's avoiding her and making her run weird errands. Friday after work, she has a full-on midlife crisis. She's spiraling. What's my purpose? Do I even like any of the things I actually like?
Danielle Higgs liked pleasing people. No, not people. One person. Danielle Higgs' favorite thing was to please whoever her favorite person was at the moment in time, and for 3 years now, that had been Victor Hughes. Go get your man, girl.
As she thinks about this, a text from Mr. Hughes comes in. He wants to make sure she confirmed his Monday appointment with Mr. Rensfield. He has never texted her outside of work hours. She texts back saying, yes, sir, and he says, thank you. That's it. Then she imagines what he's like in his home life after work. She stops the start of a very spicy fantasy that she knows will never happen and then orders food and binges her TV show. When her TV show is done, this girl's got some balls. She cleans up and she texts Mr. Hughes asking if he's been to Cherry Street since their night together. He says yes, but only drove there, didn't partake because he wasn't interested. And then she types a second text.
I thought about going back to Cherry Street tomorrow, but when I think about how perfectly your cock filled my pussy, I can't imagine anyone else that would make me that wet. Oh my God, girl.
To her boss.
She got balls.
Yeah. After he was like, hey, I don't want to cross that line.
Yeah. Might have to call HR.
She is quite ballsy.
He texts back saying this is a bad idea. She says they're both consenting adults and they can keep their work and sex life separate. But he tells her right now he's not interested in her and she will never bring it up again. And then she never gets a text back.
Oh my God, I'd never go back to work then.
I quit.
Yeah, I would respond and be like, okay, I quit. That's embarrassing.
Halfway through Saturday, she finally gets a text. He lets her know that there needs to be rules to keep the two separate. Her job will remain separate from anything sexual, and she can tell him no. He's able to do the same, and she can end this whenever she wants. The third rule is she will not neglect her own personal needs for his anymore. She says the third seems kind of silly, and he replies,
let me be frank with you, Miss Higgs. I'm only interested in how wet you are if the rest of you has also been tended to.
Okay. Cute.
Yeah.
She says that she's hydrated, she's eaten, she's showered, and now he needs to be taken care of as well. She tries to start sexting, but he calls her so he can hear her dirty talk. She says no call for their first time because she's nervous. Then she grabs an assortment of toys from her collection, lays them on the bed, sends him a photo, and asks him to pick one out for her to use. He picks an interesting purple one, and she asks if he's touching himself. He is. She gets on her bed, ready to use her toy, and then she sends another text.
I think I'd bruise my knees for you anywhere at a moment's notice. Your office, your car, the alley behind our building. But right now, I'm imagining how your floor digs into my knees as I'm memorizing the shape of your cock with my fingertips. Just a graze, a tease. I want to know if I can make it twitch and leap for me with barely any contact. Goddamn, girl. She's got a way with words. I'd be like, yeah, I want to touch your dick.
She continues the sexting and starts masturbating, and he is liking the sexting.
My shaft is coated with my need for you, and I wish it was from your mouth, and thinking about the heat of your tongue, and wondering if you'd let me spread you across my desk and feast on you. I want my fingers buried in your folds as deep as they can go. My shaft is coated with my need for you.
Aww.
Imagine receiving that text message.
Cute. I'd be like, pics.
I'd just be like, wow, what a eloquent sentence.
She comes and then takes a photo of her used dildo to send it to him. Then she cleans up and climbs into bed. They share a goodnight text and she falls asleep with a smile on her face. She completes all of her errands on Sunday, cooks herself a good meal, checks her phone to see if he texted. No text, but that's okay because she gets to see him tomorrow. At work the next day, she can't maintain any eye contact with him. But it's also the day of the big meeting with Renfield, so there's the added tension of that. He admits that he wishes he was spending lunch with her, and she tells him that she would love to spend a lunch with him and will check his calendar so they can book it. She's wet as hell thinking of what they could do after lunch, and he excuses himself since he has such a busy day. The day goes on normally. She gets their lunch ordered for the meeting, cleans and rearranges the conference room, and Mr. Hughes even steps out to give a nod of approval. She picks up their food order, making sure everything is perfect, and then gets back just as Renfield comes in. This guy, like, plays mental mind games, so, like, she puts his food down where she thinks he's gonna sit, and then he switches the chairs around. So then he sits over there with his food across the table. So then she's like hurrying to move the food to him. And he just like keeps moving.
What the hell?
It's like a power play. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I would think it would be.
Finally, Mr. Hughes excuses her so they can start. She then joins Sherry and Andrew for lunch.
Danielle, Andrew, and Sherry are having lunch together for the first time ever. And Andrew and Sherry are both her coworkers. And Andrew is the front receptionist and Sherry works downstairs in like interior design kind of. Because they work in like an interior design
furniture.
Yeah, furniture store.
Okay.
It's like a big brand, right? So this meeting that Mr. Renfield and Mr. Hughes are having, they're trying to like partner together. Well, Mr. Hughes wants to partner with Mr. Renfield because he's a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So Danielle, Andrew, Sherry are having lunch together for the first time ever, and they're heading out and they're getting to know each other when the conversation comes up if Danielle's currently seeing someone. Immediately, she shuts down. Andrew's like, girl, you're gorgina and super smart. And you deserve to be worshipped and pampered. When she's thinking about being worshipped and pampered, she starts really missing her boss,
Victor.
This causes her to kind of spiral because feelings are not a part of their hookup plan. When they get back to work, she thanks both Sherry and Andrew for such a fun lunch, and they're both really thankful that she decided to finally give it a go because they constantly ask her and she always denies them because usually she uses her lunch break to go get fucked at the glory hole. Just a little something to take the edge off.
Just a midday treat.
Yeah.
That's what she calls it. She's like, it's literally my treat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sherry went to her wing of the building, leaving just her and Andrew, and he's so sweet. He was like, hey, listen, like, I know I'm a lot, but it means a lot that you came. They get to their floor, and all the happiness that was in her heart is quickly gone. Mr. Renfield storms out of the office, screaming at Mr. Hughes, saying that he's a disgrace, and the amount of disrespect that he just tolerated today was unfathomable. So the meeting went terrible.
What the hell?
Danielle instantly goes into crisis mode. She notices that he left his water bottle in the office and she grabs it and runs after him. And when she finally catches up to him, she extends the water bottle and she's like, I just wanted to return this to you. And he turns to her and he's like, your boss is a sad sack of shit. All he did was rush to sign the deal. And Danielle kind of put together all of the pieces of kind of what happened in the meeting. She realized that Mr. Hughes had a really tight schedule for the day, and the deal was already broken down and negotiated before Mr. Renfield flew in. So it was really only to kind of like talk last minute and sign the papers. And Mr. Renfield has major ADHD, so he probably got sidetracked like 2,000 times. So Mr. Hughes was probably trying to keep him on schedule, and Mr. Renfield took that as pushy and rude. Boy drama.
Yeah.
Just sign the fucking paperwork and then we could chit chat.
Yeah. She talks to him because at this point they have nothing to lose. She's extremely professional and respectful and tells him that Mr. Hughes respects him and he's passionate about the company. She at least thought that he should know that he was more than likely swept up in this big opportunity and was also trying to be respectful of the time. She hopes that this experience doesn't reflect how he thinks of this area and she wishes him well and then leaves.
Okay, crisis mode though. Go girl.
Mm-hmm. She's a PR queen. Getting back into the office, she checks on Mr. Hughes just to make sure he doesn't need anything before cleaning up for the day. He immediately says no, but when she turns to leave, he tells her to stay.
God, listen to me. You're not a damn dog. I mean to say, you may stay if you want. Though the temptation was to kneel beside him and bury her head in his thigh and hope to be pet, Danielle made herself turn around and look him in the eye and speak. You may invite me to stay if you wish, she murmured, but I don't mind very much being told either. Not if it's by you, sir.
She's like, pet me like a dog. I don't care.
She says, woof, woof.
She knew it was risky being anything less than professional here at work, but truly she just wanted to be with him so he didn't have to be alone right now. When he started talking about their meeting, Danielle instantly was on his side and basically telling him everything she told Mr. Renfield, but he cut her off. Mr. Hughes says, "No, you misunderstand me. It didn't go south because of that. It went south from the beginning because he knew that Renfield was fucking with her almost. He dragged the rug that she placed off center. He was switching the seating positions. And Mr. Hughes basically yelled at him in the meeting."
Oh, God.
It was all because he was waiting on him to make a comment about her. And when he finally did about how helpful and beautiful Danielle was, it angered him that Renfield saw her the way that he did. After hearing all this, Danielle was instantly horny. She thought that homeboy hardly noticed her for the past 3 years. So she was like, "You can see when I enter a room." Because she like legitimately was convinced she was invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle walks up behind him and gives him a hug, and he gives himself a moment to sink into her embrace. At first, he thinks she's comforting him just because he's in a bad mood, so maybe if she was nice to him, then the office would run smoother. And she's like, "Are you kidding?" He's like, "No, seriously, like, I'm 25 years older than you. Why do you want to touch me at all?"
She grinned. "Then I hope you'll let me show you." In the back of her mind, she ran rapid calculations. She set up a perfectly good fantasy the other night. If Danielle slid under his desk, she could suck him off out of sight. And as long as she kept her tongue clever, he'd barely be able to breathe, much less try to watch her work. She could sink into being a complete and total slut, and he wouldn't be able to tease her about it.
Yeah, okay, girl.
But as she thought about that fantasy, she also had a PTSD flashback about her shitty, emotional, abusive relationship, which caused her to clench her nails into his shirt. She was, like, gripping onto this man.
My ex.
Pookie immediately clocks it, but she intends to chase off her shitty ex with her smoking hot boss. She told him that she'd like to enforce the Gluck Gluck 3000, and he tells her he'd love that, but only if he could eat her out. But Danielle doesn't want that. She wants to suck his dick and to be used. She's not looking for pleasure in return. She tells him that, and he's like, "If me touching you makes you uncomfy, we can talk about it." And she tells him it's not that, it's him seeing her enjoy herself that makes her uncomfortable. So she doesn't like to be seen. She just likes to be used.
Okay.
And it's all because of her traumatic past. He hears her and understands, but his decision is still firm. Their first sexual encounter not behind the glory hole wall is going to be equal, or he's not going to have it at all. Danielle wants to please him, though, so she comes up with a solution. She says, "Okay, how about this?
I think you should put this over your eyes, and then you should fuck me." He sucked in a quiet breath. "You think that, do you?" She nodded. "That way you can't see me. You get your cock wet. I get my pussy filled." Her cheeks burned, being this close, knowing he was reading her face while the filth dripped off her tongue. "We both get what we want, and then we go back to work, relaxed." I like that she's like, "You get your cock wet. I get my pussy filled."
She puts his tie over his eyes and secures it tight, so his vision is completely gone. They start smooching and dirty talking, saying how badly they wanted each other. His phone in the office starts ringing, but he tells her to unhook the phone because he's not answering a single call until she comes. Mr. Hughes admits he's vulnerable right now. Danielle's ogling his dick, and he can't tell if what's on her face is good or bad. And she says, "Why don't you feel for yourself?" And he touches her punani.
"I think you're gonna make a mess all over my fucking desk with your beautiful pussy." He turned his wrist for better access, and his thumb brushed over a clit. "I wish I had the time to make you squirt all over my floor." Why? Then you'd have to clean it up.
Yeah, you're in the office, dude. Like, all the papers are gonna get wet. It's gonna smell like pussy. Like, come on.
His assistant will clean it.
She is the assistant.
I know.
Well, I guess if she's gonna be the one to clean it up, then who cares?
It's true.
The nightly cleaners that come in, they're like, "God, what the fuck happened in here?
It smells pungent in here."
She tells him she's so horned up she could do it right now. She's like, "Oh, just look at me, I'll squirt."
Yeah.
He starts teasing her pussy with his dick, and just as he's about to enter, he pulls away, and it's driving her mad. He asks her if this is all it takes to make her come, but when he said those words, she had another flashback of her exiting the same thing, but in a nasty, degrading, harmful way, and her anxiety was about to consume her. Mr. Hugh tells her this is so hot, and she's convinced she's in an alternate universe because the fact that he's so turned on too and not making fun of her, she just can't fathom it. She begs for his dick, but he says not until you come first, and he starts dirty talking her while she's on the edge. She begs for his dick, and he says not until you come first, and he starts dirty talking her while she's on the edge, saying since he found out it was her he fucked, he's been fucking his fists multiple times a day.
Multiple times a day?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Old man's got stamina.
Yeah, he does.
Today has been hell. I haven't been able to touch myself since I left my house. And here you are, being so gorgeous, all dressed up in purple just for me. God damn it, Danielle. I want to bend you in half and look into your eyes and make you come for me over and over again until we're even. Until you've had just as many orgasms as you've gave me. Wearing purple just for me, is that his favorite color?
It was the color of her garter.
It's the color of the dildo that he picked out the night before when they were having phone sex. He picked out a purple dildo.
Oh.
To match her purple garter.
Yeah. Cute.
She said, I know what I'm wearing today.
Purple. She just comes in a purple bodysuit. And he's like, oh my fucking God.
You look like that dildo.
With his words undoing her, she came, and when she came down, she still begged for his cock. When he was getting ready to fuck her, Andrew knocked on the door and said he had a visitor and that it's urgent. He kept trying to call, but the line was busy. Both of them freeze in panic, but then Mr. Hughes collects himself and tells Andrew through the door that he'll be right out as soon as he finishes up the call that he's on. Pulling himself together, he told Danielle he's going to be right back after he sends the visitor away. Danielle's in his office for a longer amount of time than she thought, so either this person is very determined or it is actually important. And since she has time to kill, she decides to be bold and take everything off of his desk and plant herself over it, waiting for his return. Danielle's still bent over the desk with her back to the door when she hears Mr. Hughes laugh from the hallway and then enter his office and quickly shut it. So she's just like bent over his desk, butt ass naked. So like literally anyone could have opened that door.
She's so brave.
Yeah.
She's a very brave girl.
And she's like prepared to, for anyone to fuck her. It doesn't even have to be Mr. Hughes. She's like, anybody could fuck me right now and it's cool.
She would just prefer for it to be Mr. Hughes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She hears him take his pants down and put a condom on and walk up behind her. He asks if she knows who was there. When she tells him no, he says it was Mr. Renfield, and in the same moment, he fucks her. He's fucking her as he's asking her if she spoke to him. She's apologizing, but his pace quickens, and he tells her she just saved them because due to her kindness, he came back and she got them the deal. She tries to tell him it wasn't her and all the hard work was him, but he won't have it.
I didn't do anything. I just said. She trailed off when his teeth nibbled on her shoulder. Too late to leave a mark. Oh, fuck, fuck. Bite it, please. I only bite good girls who understand their own worth. He really had no idea how potent those words were. Both praise and chastising all mixed in a dizzying cocktail. Mr. Hughes kissed her shoulder instead. Bad girls get fucked until they can't put themselves down anymore. He says, say your daily affirmations. You are kind. You are beautiful. You are smart.
I mean, honestly, I need that.
Same. Yeah. They're in a fuck frenzy right now, learning each other's bodies, and Mr. Hughes wants to flip her over, but that would mean being seen. But have no fear, she's in safe hands. He calls her perfect and beautiful, and she knew in that moment it was going to be impossible for her to just be fuck buddies with her boss. She begs Mr. Hughes to come, and he tells her to say his name.
It was a gift, one she didn't deserve, but how could she deny him? Danielle tightened her grip on his hair. Come for me, Victor. Yes. Oh, it was a question mark. Come for me, Victor.
It has a question mark.
Yes, he breathed almost soundlessly just before he kissed her. As soon as his moans reverberated through her mouth, matching the stuttered thrusts of his hips, Danielle let her last tenuous hold on her orgasm go.
Come for me, Victor.
Come for me, Victor.
Please.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
After the frick, it's back to work. Mr. Hughes signed the contract with Mr. Renfield, and all is right in the world. With this new deal, the office has been increasingly busier. They haven't had any time for each other intimately, but they still make it known through small acts that they haven't forgotten. They made it through the first week with the transition, and he asked her to come home with him after work tomorrow to stay the whole weekend. And Danielle is stunned. She said, hell yeah, brother, count me in.
A weekend with my man.
With my boss, man.
My old boss.
My old ass boss.
She gets lunch with her new work bestie, Andrew, today. And he's like, girl, what the hell is up with you? I'll give you space if you need it. But if not, tell me what's going on. Not wanting to give out the obvious, she settles on telling Andrew that she's hooking up with someone new and she can't tell if they like her or not. She's feeling like it's too good to be true because she feels way under his league and he's smoking hot and super rich.
He's also like old, so yeah. That knocks him down a few pegs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She gives him the whole rundown without leading into specifics or any identifying things. And he's like, sweetie, let me hold your hand while I say this. If the man is as wealthy as you say he is, he literally could have gotten a hotel room if he wanted to relax with you, but keep you at arm's length. Like, the fact that he's bringing you home says a lot.
Yeah.
And although this helped her, it also made things a lot more complicated because, again, they're just supposed to be fuck buddy.
Mm.
It's Friday after work and everyone's packing up to leave. They turn to leave together and take the elevator down, and they talk about how horned up they were for each other all day long. He tells her if only she told him just how badly she needed him, he could have helped her today.
Can you feel how hard I am right now? She nodded. It was almost a grounding point, having her attention turned that way. Did you know that I've made a terrible mess of my briefs, too? She didn't even have to try. Immediately, the image of his black boxer briefs being filled out by his aroused cock with a spreading slick spot of pre-cum on the front came to mind. He's like, I busted in my pants today.
He's like, did you know that I shit my pants today because of you? What a weird way to word that.
I know. Could have worded that entirely differently.
She tells him that she's embarrassed that she loves to be used, like she's only a good-for-nothing whole. But that's what she loves. And this is a huge deal for her that she voiced this to him. When they get out of the elevator and they walk through the showroom together, he holds her hand. But this also makes her feel a little bit immature, like she's a girl with major daddy issues. And him being 25 years her senior, it's like he's trying to fill that role or something. So she just feels a little bit weird right now. He decides that rather than her following him to his house, since she's so shaken up, it's best if she just rides with him. She grabs her bag from her car and hops in his and confirms with him as long as he's okay that they ride together to work on Monday, that people could potentially see them, like she'll ride with him. And he doesn't mind at all. Mr. Hughes tells her that he wants to make one thing perfectly clear this weekend. He will fuck her every way until Sunday, if that's what she prefers, but he doesn't just want her laying there taking it and hiding her face just to be used. Like, he wants her to enjoy it.
He's like, I want you to participate with me.
Yeah, he's like, I literally don't want a sex doll. Like,
yeah.
He's all for doing some of those things as a kink, but he doesn't want it to be necessary for their sex life, and she understands. He asks her about her past and what caused this reaction out of her, and she tells him about her shitty-ass ex, Nick, who she was with for 8 years. Victor wants to catch him outside, but Danielle says, don't stress over him. He's not worth it. Plus, I don't want you to mess up your sexy hands.
If I talk about how much I like them, I'm going to leave a stain on your seat.
She's like, I'm going to shit my pants too.
Again, could have been worded differently.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I'm going to dookie my pants.
He's like, cool, I already shit mine earlier.
We can do it together.
He is old.
He is old. He leaks.
Yeah. But also, like, I get hands are sexy, but like...
Not shit your pants sexy.
Yeah.
Not. No.
It's just canon that they both shit their pants now.
Yeah.
Danielle plops her legs up on the dash and starts teasing her pussy, getting ready to finger blast herself right here in the car while they're driving. Mr. Hughes is white knuckle gripping the steering wheel while she's playing DJ on her clit and pussy. She's feeling this so hard. She's thinking about how hot and sexy he is and how much she loves him.
People are driving by them like, oh my God.
And you know he's in like a four-door Mercedes or something. Like, he's definitely in like a low-to-the-ground car. Maybe a Tesla.
Yeah.
All of the expedition moms are like, honey, close your eyes. Yeah.
Don't look at that whore. Slut! Right at her peak, he tells her he wants so many things from her, and she tells him to take it all. She expects him to finger her, but she's so surprised when he grabs her face and kisses her. They were at a stoplight and a car honked and was like, what the fuck? Go! They're like screaming at them. And it broke the moment, but it gave her a second to tell him she's surprised he kissed her. And he's like, yes, I like a lot about you. And she tells him ditto. As they get to Mr. Hughes' house, it's stunning, of course. It's her favorite house in the whole neighborhood. When they pull in and park the car in the garage, he got her bag out of the trunk and then placed her on top of the car. He pulled her titties out and starts sucking all in one quick motion. She's not used to being intimately touched, but she begs for him to fuck her, and he says gladly, and he lays her down on the car. She begs not to be teased this time, that she just needs him, and they fuck vigorously but passionately until they both come. Also, at this point, she's still calling him Mr. Hughes, and the only time she ever called him Victor was that one time when he asked. So she's like, Mr. Hughes, and he's like, will you please call me by my first name? Like, he's like, this is getting a little bit weird now.
He's like, oh my God, please.
You're at my house.
Yeah. She said, yes, but only if you call me Danielle, because he's been calling her Miss Higgs. So they've been very formal up until this point. So now they're on first name basis. And he says, deal. And then he shows her his home.
Cute.
They head inside and Victor shows her around his home, and she's really impressed by how he's decorated and all of the art that he has. But nothing is more impressive to her than the large jacuzzi tub in his ensuite bathroom. He asks if she's hungry and she says yes, so he asks what she wants to eat, and she's like, whatever you want to eat. But he doesn't like this answer and tells her to just tell him what she likes, and she can't think of anything. All she can think of is what he likes. That would annoy the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to say, she's like, oh my God, look at all this art and nice things you have. Yeah, he's fucking 25 years older than you. He's had plenty of time to collect.
Also, he designs furniture. That's his whole business, is he designs furniture.
Oh.
Imagine like being an interior designer or like a designer of any sort and like bringing someone to your house and waiting for their reaction. And the one thing that they're drawn to is a tub.
They're like, ooh, nice tub. And he's like, that's the one thing I didn't pick out. Thanks.
Yeah.
He tells her that she's off the clock and not currently his personal assistant. And he wants her to feel like her own person when they're together. But it's a hard habit for her to break. So she finally requests fried chicken and french fries.
Okay, child.
Also, you're planning to fuck all weekend and you're asking for fried food.
They better not be doing any butt stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to order their food while she changes into her jammies, and after she's done, she heads to the kitchen but is looking over all of his art on the wall when she runs across a picture of a toddler-aged girl sitting on Santa's lap. And now she's really confused because Victor had never mentioned having a daughter, or a granddaughter, rather, because he's old as fuck. He walks up behind her and was like, ah, I see you found Roxy. That's my ex-husband's daughter.
What?
His ex Greg had her via surrogate about 3 years ago with his current husband Jay. Danielle is trying to act like her whole mind wasn't just blown, and she comments on how cute and mischievous this little girl looks. Victor says that's definitely accurate, and his relationship to her is kind of like an uncle that sees her on the holidays, because him and his ex aren't really that close anymore. Which, if he had this little girl after they got divorced, why do you have any relationship with her? But different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That really threw me.
Yes.
Yeah. And they kind of gloss past it. It doesn't really come up.
I was going to say, are they going to delve into that?
You get his backstory with his ex, but it doesn't come up that he's bisexual again.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I said I might have dibble-dabbled.
Yeah, he did. He's had a lot of time to experiment.
Because he's old.
Yeah,
because he's old.
Really hammer that in.
He gives her the backstory and tells her that they were together for over 10 years, but were just not really compatible. Victor is an introvert and Greg was a huge extrovert. They both wanted to dive headfirst into their respective careers, and after they got married, they just kind of turned into friends who had sex once in a while. He tells Danielle that they aren't together anymore, and that's perfectly okay, because Victor was a carpenter getting into business for his furniture design company, and I think Greg was a backup dancer.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Two different careers.
She tells him how interesting his life seems, and he tells her that he loves a bit differently than others, and tells her he's demi-romantic. He can't be with anyone physically until he feels a spark between the two of them. He tells her he's a little nervous about all of the feelings he has for her. He cares for her a great deal, and he hopes that doesn't complicate things too much. He was under the impression that Danielle only wanted a strictly sexual relationship and doesn't want to push for more and make things weird, and she's flabbergasted because she definitely wants more from him if he can give it to her. So the way she's been wording things toward him, because she's trying to be like cool and chill and down for whatever, she's like, yeah, we can fuck and whatever, but she's like madly in love with him. So he was under the impression that she was just trying to fuck, but he really likes her too.
Oh, what a great situation.
She tells him that while she does want him to look at her and just see her as a whole to fuck, she also feels herself falling for him, and that wasn't something she ever thought she'd feel after her previous relationship. He tells her he's looking for something real with her, and she asks, what about work? And he freezes and is like, let's just get through the weekend first, and then we'll worry about that later. Victor changes into his jammies while Danielle grabs the food at the front door when it's delivered, and they eat at the table together. When they're done, he cleans up the dishes while she looks around the space, and she's mentally rearranging everything to fit more cohesively in the room, and he notices, asking what she's so deep in thought about, and she's like, that lamp over there? It doesn't feel right. It should be somewhere else. And he asks where it should go then, and she tells him this is his space and she's not here to intrude on it. But like, bitch, you're looking around the house.
You just
being
did.
Like, that doesn't look right there.
She's been there for like 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. She's like, feng shui is off. Rearrange.
He tells her he's a carpenter / businessman, not an interior designer, so just spill. Danielle tells him that maybe he needs a floor lamp instead and to put this particular lamp in a library or something. So he walks right over and unplugs it from the wall and says, okay, let's go to the library then. And now she's like, this man has a whole ass library?
Duh.
He leads her to it, and of course it's beautiful and filled with tons of books and beautiful furniture, and now she's mentally rearranging the whole room in her mind again. She starts moving stuff around with his permission, and he asks if she's ever thought about going into interior design, and she says no. And he tells her she should definitely consider it because she seems like a natural. Then the conversation turns steamy, and she tells him she wants to see his office so his personal assistant can get on her knees for him. And he says, say less, and he leads the way. When they get there, he plops down on his desk chair and asks if she wants a pillow for her knees. And she says, no, I want to be uncomfortable.
All right.
She can see the bulge in his pants, and he offers to put a condom on if that makes her feel safer. She asks when the last time he tested was, and he tells her last week, actually. Everything came back negative, but he'll still wear one just in case she doesn't like the taste of cum. Because remember, she's just sucking his dick, but he offers to put on a condom.
I'd be like, yuck.
Yeah. Yuck. I would also be like, girl, you went to the glory hole every day on your lunch break. Like, when were you last tested?
Yeah, when did you test?
Yeah.
Which is a valid question, not to shame her at all, but like...
But also when?
He went once. Yeah. That was the one time that he went.
Yeah. But Danielle loves the taste of cum, so the condom won't be necessary. She pulls his pants down and immediately starts giving him the sloppiest of sloppy toppies.
Yeah.
She's determined to show him how much she cares for him through this blowjob, so she takes a deep breath, unhinges her jaw, and deep throats him. He's moaning and groaning her name.
The moment she swallowed around him, Victor's hips spasmed, and he threw his head back with a stunned shout. Those loving, masterful hands tightened for a moment in her hair as he released, the hot flow dripping straight down her throat. Danielle grinned around him, working him again and again with instinctive gulps that teased his oversensitive cock. She took him as far as he seemed able to manage, right to when his groans took the color of pain, and only then did she pull back so slowly that the long drag of her tongue had his toes curling against the floor.
That was a good blowjob.
It was. Somehow, the emotional message via blowjob worked because he tells her he feels so vulnerable with her and asks her to sit on his lap so he can hold her. He tells her he wants to get himself back together after that amazing blowjob, and then he wants her on his desk so he can return the favor, but she says no, not right now. Right now, she just wants to be held and asks if that's all right. Is he mad? And he says, no. She settles into his arms and thinks about how this man wants her, not just as a whole to fuck. After a while, he tells her he wants to take her to bed, not for sex, but just to cuddle and fall asleep. And that night, Danielle sleeps harder than she ever has. She wakes up after him and follows the smell of coffee into the kitchen, where he has a cup ready for her, and it's even got the exact amount of cream and sugar that she puts in it at work. So he's been paying attention to her.
Oh, that's nice.
She tells him how comfortable his bed is, and he tells her to feel free to use it whenever she wants. Then, they eat breakfast together, and it feels really natural for both of them to be doing this. Danielle brings up that if this thing between them is going to go any further, it could ruin things at work for both of them. But Victor seems completely unbothered, telling her that she's extremely well-liked in the office, and he doesn't think anyone would cause a stink about it. He confesses to how much he appreciates everything she does for him at work, because when he hired her, it was during a really dark time in his life when he was basically drowning himself in work so he didn't have to deal with anything in his personal life. And when Danielle came along, she took so much of the load off his shoulders that he was able to be a person again. That's why he tried to be so distant with her, because he could tell what a good woman she was and didn't want to ruin anything. But at the same time, now that he knows her feelings for him, he's scared that she'll hyperfixate on his needs too much and forget about her own, because she was already basically doing that when she was only his personal assistant.
Yeah.
She tries to deny this, but he asks what her life would look like if he fired her right here and now, and she freezes and is like, it wouldn't look like anything, and he tells her that's exactly his point. Now she's pissed and is like, what about you? You don't have a life outside of work, and if I'm so lonely and you're not, then why did you cry after you fucked me on the hood of your car?
Okay.
Also, yeah, he cried after he fucked her on the car.
He cried?
He did. He cried.
All right.
I'd be like, take me home.
Yeah. I want to go home.
My bad. I totally probably glazed over that. I probably got the ick and like literally probably just skimmed it. I was like, I didn't even know he did that.
He did. He cried.
Love that.
He won't look at her, but says that it's because he couldn't remember the last time he felt so close to someone. And she's like, looks like I'm not the only lonely person here. And now she sees why he's been pushing her to take care of herself and go out with coworkers. It's to push her away from him. He confirms this, but only out of a need to see her take care of herself without him around. But she tells him if she wants to make her life bigger than him, that's her decision. And if he wants to cut things off between them, she deserves a say in that too. He doesn't just get to control everything. And he apologizes to her, and she asks if he wants to be with her for real, not just for sex. He says yes, that he'd even let her call him her boyfriend if she wanted, and she says, okay, but what will that look like at work? They both agree that they need to come out with it and not keep it a secret that'll blow up in their faces and make them look bad, but she asks him to promise not to fire her. If she needs to leave because of their relationship, she will, but she wants the final say on that. He says okay, but only if she promises to keep going out to lunch with her friends and maybe even pick up a hobby that has nothing to do with their relationship or work. But she looks at him and says, all right, but the same goes for you. Then they both laugh the tension off and he tells her how incredible she is and she says, so are you.
Aw, their first fight.
They spend the rest of the day hanging out, watching movies, snuggling, and reading books, and occasionally Danielle will find something to rearrange to look better in his space. So she's just fully moving his shit around. Eventually, he tells her that he wants to discuss her stepping away as his personal assistant, and when she hears this, she panics, but he tells her he's not firing her, but he really does think at this point, being his personal assistant, with the way the relationship is progressing, is pretty unethical. And with the new partnership, the company will be growing, and new roles will need to be filled. Perhaps an interior design consultant? She argues that she doesn't have any professional experience, and he says he'd bring someone on with lots of experience to train her. She's super hesitant because of the risk for the company if this is the wrong move, but he reassures her that he has all the faith in her if she decides she wants to do this. He cares for her deeply, and he wants to do whatever it takes to see where this relationship goes. And she grabs his shirt collar, pulls him in close, and says, let's quit saying we care deeply for each other. I love you, and I've loved you for a long time. He tells her he loves her too, and they kiss passionately until she tells him to take her to bed. He carries her to the bedroom, and she realizes they're about to fuck in a bed for the first time ever. They've only done glory hole and car so far.
Oh.
He strips her down and kneels down in front of her, but she's freaking out now, telling him he doesn't have to go down on her, but he assures her he definitely wants to. He gives her a hickey on her hip, and she tells him to mark her all over her body so everyone knows who she belongs to. He covers her torso in them, and then she's begging for his mouth on her pussy.
I don't know why, but hickeys kind of gross me out.
I like them.
Do you?
Yeah.
I guess it's just seeing them on other people that grosses me out.
Yeah, I see them on other people, and I'm like, trash.
Yeah.
But me, I'm like, okay, hot.
Yeah.
I just like the feeling of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to mark me, but like.
Boldly, she spread her legs as far as they could go and reached up to tousle her hair. I'm all yours, sir. You are. That rich growl had her hold clenching, angry that it wasn't yet filled. And I'm yours.
Her angry hole. Yeah. He starts chowing down and she's in pure bliss, already about to come.
That smooth beard rubbed through her inner labia, a constant tickle that made her toes curl. Victor seemed restless initially, first running just the tip of his tongue over her clitoris, then slurping it between his lips. But when he circled the flat of his tongue over her clit in a slow, indulgent taste, she bucked her hips and he hummed and kept at it. Slurped it.
Yeah. As she comes apart, she squeezes his head with her thighs and holds him against her by his hair. When she comes down from her orgasm, she apologizes for getting a little wild there, but he says, "Don't ever apologize for taking what you want." He strips off his pants and tells her she can use him however she wants, and if she wants him to use her right back, he's more than willing to do that for her. He rolls a condom on and slides into her, and she realizes that this right here is making love.
"Do you want to hit my G-spot? You know I do," he hummed. "Come on." Danielle put her hands on his chest to push him back slightly, then placed her feet on the mattress and grabbed her pillow. The moment she had it shoved under her hips, she pulled him back in. "Fuck me now.
Do you want to hit my G-spot?
You know I do."
Now Danielle's seeing stars, and Victor is telling her what a good fucking girl she is.
Victor moved one hand to her pelvis and held her in place while his thumb moved back to her clit. He studied her, learned the precise pressure she wanted against her little button, and kept at it while he fucked her senseless. "That's it, love. That's it. Don't hold anything back. Let me see every bit of you." Her little button.
Her little button. She comes so hard, she literally starts sobbing with tears rolling down her face, and she doesn't even care if he sees. He goes as deep as he can, comes, and cries right along with her.
Oh my god.
I know.
He's a crier.
Ugh, yuck.
After every time, you need to stop.
Yeah, it's been every time except for the glory hole that we know of.
He was just silently crying.
He went to his car after the glory hole and started crying.
Just slamming on his steering wheel.
Probably. Before long, Danielle is back at work again, and she goes to lunch with Andrew and Sherry, and she decides she's going to tell them about Victor. She tells them her weekend getaway with her mystery lover was really good, and they even made things official. Oh, and also, she's going to be transitioning into a new role at the company. Sherry and Andrew are both immediately like, "Mr. Hughes is not going to be able to function without you as his personal assistant." She assures them that her new role wouldn't be that far away from Mr. Hughes. In fact, she'll be working down in the showroom with Sherry. Victor is putting together a design consultant service and wants her to be one of the designers, and Andrew's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Victor." And Sherry's like, "Yes, Danielle, why don't you tell us more about Victor?" Danielle is mortified, but they're both like, "No, this is tea, spill everything." Which, same, I would be like, "Tell me everything, yeah. You whore."
Yeah, I'd be like, "Oh my god, how's the sex, what's his dick look like?
Did he cry?" Yeah.
She's like, "Yeah, every time." She confesses that they're seeing each other. It hasn't been long, but they did make things official over the weekend. Sherry is tickled and says, "That's amazing, and it sounds like something straight out of a movie." But Andrew's more concerned and asks if Danielle feels safe and wants to know if she ever felt pressured by her boss to do anything she wasn't down for because of the power imbalance.
I'd be like, "No, I pressured him."
I would be like, "Andrew, let me show you the texts that I sent this man." Yeah.
She assures Andrew that everything was super consensual and neither of them really planned on this happening, despite Danielle crushing on him for years. As a matter of fact, Danielle was the one that made the first move. She gets both of her friends' blessings and they all cheers their waters to her new relationship. Some time passes and Danielle has officially transitioned to the interior design department and is working with her first official solo clients. She's of course crushing it because she's an interior design prodigy and they're thrilled with all of her recommendations. She's been working on her self-confidence, assertiveness, and is even in therapy to work through the issues from her past. And also, she was diagnosed with ADHD.
Checks out.
She doesn't see Victor nearly as often as she'd like since they aren't working so closely together anymore, but they're still going strong. Victor is also going to therapy, and he even got into hiking. So they both have their little hobbies. She has therapy, he has hiking.
Slay.
She's taken Adderall, she's feeling great.
Good for her.
Oh yeah, girl.
She heads upstairs to his office to pick him up for his lunch date, and he asks if she's ready for their weekend together. And she's like, "Yes, but ugh, I need to do laundry and pack." And he's like, "How about you just move in with me?" She throws her arms around him and says, "I love you. Of course I'll move in with you." They start to make out against his desk, and he tells her their lunch date reservations can wait. The end.
Oh, I got a bang.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I'd give it 3.
Okay.
Like a 2.75, 3.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know why. It wasn't my favorite. I think like the dialogue in it, the way they talked, yeah, it was silly. Silly. But it was entertaining. It was good.
It was very entertaining. I wish the glory hole came back.
Yes. Yeah, I wish they like talked more about that as well.
Yeah, she like gave up her passion of the glory hole.
I mean,
yeah.
He was like, go find a hobby. She's like, I have a hobby.
The glory hole.
Yeah.
Well, what did you guys think of the book?
I think I gave it a 3. It was just silly. Not my favorite.
Yeah, it's just silly.
I gave it a 4.
Love it.
I love it when they're just like horny as fuck. I just think it's so funny. There's so much going on. They're just like, they say one thing and they're like, oh, I'm so horny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were.
Yeah, they were super horned up.
I give it a 3.5. Probably would have been a 3.75 if they didn't cry so much.
Yeah.
It was a very entertaining book. If you need like a quick, smutty read with a few hee-hee-ha-has in it, read this.
All right.
Yeah.
And next week, we're telling Riley all about Willing Prey by Allie Oleander. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
It's like woodsy. There's like a bra on a tree, a deer. It says a primal play romance. Okay. I feel like our main character girl, she is going to meet a man in the woods. She's going to be walking in the park and she sees this hot man in the park. Day to day, she sees him, okay? And then they finally decide to chat it up in the park one day. And they hit it off and they're very flirty. And then they get, you know, real sexy. And she's like, oh my gosh, I love primal play. And then he's like, oh my God, start running in the park, in the woods.
In the middle of the day. There's kids on the swing set.
Just run right past them as fast as you can.
Okay.
I'm going to get ya. How'd I do?
They both like primal play.
I knew it.
A primal play romance.
Duh.
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.